بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: حاميم والكتاب المبين، إنا أنزلناه في ليلة مباركة إنا كنا منذرين، فيها يفرق كل أمر حكيم أمرا من عندنا. وقال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: إن الله تبارك وتعالى ينزل في الليلة النصف من شعبان إلى السماء الدنيا فيغفر لأكثر من عدد شعر غنم بني كلب، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. وفي رواية قال: ينزل ربنا تبارك وتعالى إلى السماء الدنيا في الليلة النصف من الشعبان فينادي: هل من مستغفر فأغفر له، هل من مسترزق فأرزقه، هل من مبتلى فأعافيه، هل كذا هل كذا، حتى يطلو الفجر، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. صدق الله العظيم، وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. أما بعد، علماء الكرام، حفاظ of the Holy Quran, respected elders, dear brothers, our mothers and sisters, and inshallah this program will be relayed live on Radio Islam tonight. So to all the listeners of Radio Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My respected friends, if we have to say that all these years, all these big nights that have gone past, all the advices, all the nasihat that we have received from Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahab, Damat Barakatuhum, all those jewels of nasihat and advice, those golden pearls, if we have to make a firm intention tonight and say that all those nasihat that Hazrat has given with so much of love, so much of feeling, so much of ikhlas, so much of sincerity, if we all make an intention that inshallah we'll put all those advices into practice, then really, my dear brothers, there is no need for any bayan tonight. Because all these years, how many beautiful nasihats have been given from this very mihrab, this very minbar, to this very congregation, to the walls of this masjid, to all the people, the musallis of this masjid. For years they have benefited tremendously from the advices of Hazrat, and those are sufficient for our hidayat and guidance. I am not even worthy to sit in this chair and to speak on this occasion. However, it was the instruction of Hazrat, and fulfilling his instruction with great difficulty, I am sitting here in this chair, and I am hopeful, inshallah al-aziz, that even at this moment in time, Hazrat will be making dua for me, for all of us, inshallah al-aziz. Hazrat will certainly have made, last night was Shab-e-Barat in Makkah, Medina, and Hazrat would have made lots of dua for everyone that is here, the entire congregation, for all of us. Allah Ta'ala must accept all of his duas, and Allah Ta'ala grant us the full benefit and barakat of those duas that he made, especially in the Haramain Sharifain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must grant lot of barakat in his life. Allah ta'ala grant him a long, healthy life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must cause us to continue to benefit from his many advices and nasihats. Nevertheless, my dear friends, now that I am sitting in this chair, in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and through the dua and barakat of my elders, whatever advice can be shared on this occasion, this great and auspicious night, this Laylatul Barat, we know lots of virtues have been mentioned with regards to Laylatul Barat in the ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This night is one of those special nights in which Allah Rabbul Izzat makes decision of forgiveness of countless number of people. If we say millions, we are still understating Allah's rahmat. The better way to say it is countless, infinite number of people are forgiven by Allah Rabbul Izzat on this night. Infinite number of people are given hidayat, guidance on this night. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the floodgates and floods of Allah's rahmat, Allah's mercy, Allah's barakat, hidayat, all the good flood and cascades down onto this earth in unlimited quantities. My dear friends, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also mentioned in the hadith sharif regarding this night, that this is a night in which fiha ayyuktaba kullu mauludin min bani Adam. In this night, every child that will be born is recorded. In this night, every person that will pass away is recorded. Like we had an incident in this masjid this very night, that one very, very fortunate person, whoever Allah knows what his name is a very, very fortunate and lucky person. What an honorable, what an enviable maut, what a mubarak death, my dear brothers. On this night, in this auspicious night, in the house of Allah, at the time of salat, perhaps at the time of azan, the person is right in the house of Allah, right in Allah's rahmat, in such a mubarak night, to be called away, really, it is a great, great honor and privilege. Allah Rabbul Izzat grant the marhum the highest stages in Jannatul Firdaus. Allah Rabbul Izzat grant maghfirat bay hisab to him. Allah Rabbul Izzat fill his qabr with noor. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must grant sabre jameel and ajre azim to his family and to his kith and kin and his near and dear ones. My dear brothers, there are many other virtues that have been mentioned with regards to this night, which you may have heard time and time again, the ulama-i kiram, the Jummah talks, and other big nights like this, the virtue, the fadail, the greatness, the auspiciousness of this night is in front of every one of us. There is no doubt in the minds of any single person about the greatness of this night. One incident that I found very fascinating, which I would like to share with the brothers, which I read in one kitab. This is not a hadith. This is not a hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm making this very clear from the outset. This is an incident that is recorded in the kitabs with regard to one Nabi of Allah in the past. One of the Anbiya alayhi salam, and none other than Hazrat Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. This incident occurred with Hazrat Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, but it illustrates somewhat the greatness of this night for us to understand and appreciate what is the greatness of Shab-e Barat, Laylatul Barat, Laylatul Nisfi min al-Sha'ban. This night, this 15th night of Sha'ban, this was even known to the ummats of the past. And the Anbiya alayhimus salam, when they heard about the virtue of this night, it was their desire and wish that Allah Rabbul Izzat could include us in that ummat who would be fortunate and honored to have a night like 15th of Sha'ban. The incident is Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was once going on a journey, and Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was a person who used to make lot of suffer. He used to be continuously on the move, traveling, moving around, going from place to place. On one of his journeys, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam happened to go past a very high and lofty mountain. When Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam looked up to the top of that mountain, he saw a white color rock, white and shining like milk. So Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was very fascinated by the sight of this ajeeb and strange and unique rock on the top of the mountain. And so he climbed on the top of the mountain to go and see Allah's Qudrat. What is this great sign of Allah? The Ahlullah, the people of Allah, the men of Allah, when they go out to see these signs, these scenes of nature, these sceneries, it's not just for the sake of getting some thrill or some joy out of it, or to say that I've been there and I've done that, and I've also seen that place, so that if somebody asks me, I can say, yeah, I also saw it. They go with a different maqsad, a different idea altogether. I recall once, our Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, he was invited to one city in India, and the host took him around to show him some of the scenery, and he saw the different things. He came back, one person who had very little understanding of deen, he criticized Hazrat and he said, where did you go? Why you wasted your time going to see all these things? You wasted your time. You didn't come here for this purpose. When a person doesn't have understanding of deen, then a person starts thinking and talking like this. Hazrat listened to him, and then he told him that what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the night of Mi'raj? Did not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a visit, on a tour of all the ajaibat and all the strange and unique things in the asman and the sky? Did not Allah show him the signs of Jannat? Did not Allah ta'ala show him the signs of Jahannam? Did not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show him all the ajib makhluqat, Sidratul Muntaha? And this person realized that this was a huge mistake that he made. He asked for forgiveness. The Ahlullah, when they go to see the signs of Allah's Qudrat, it is in order to increase their iman, to increase their yaqeen, in order for them to heighten the level of ma'rifat and recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is with this objective that they look at the makhluk and creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So nevertheless, Hazrat Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he climbed up on the top of this mountain, and he saw this very fascinating and strange rock. It was a huge rock like a dome, absolutely white in color, white like milk. And Hazrat Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam walked around it, and he was admiring this very strange looking thing. And whilst he was looking at this rock, Allah Rabbul Izzat sent wahi unto Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah Ta'ala told him, O Isa, you seem to be very fascinated by this rock that you are seeing. He said, yes, O Allah, I am fascinated by the sight of this rock. I haven't seen anything so unique and strange before. Allah Ta'ala told him, O Isa, if only I can show you what is inside the rock, you will be even most fascinated if you have to get to know what is inside of this rock. So Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam asked Allah Ta'ala, O Allah, let me see what is inside the rock. My dear brothers, it is written in the kitab that the rock split open. The rock split open. And Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam went inside. It was sealed completely. Then it split open, and Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam went inside. And he went inside, he found a very unique and strange sight in front of his eyes. There was like a cave inside of this rock, like a cavern. And inside of this cavern, there was a person wearing a kurta, a garment, and he was standing on a musalla, and next to him there was a green color stick, and hanging in front of him there was a bunch of fresh grapes. Allahu Akbar. In this place, where the human mind would not imagine or perceive that some person of Allah is hidden in this place, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam discovered this very strange sight. He waited for this person to finish his salat. And when he finished his salat, this person turned around, he saw Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam asked him, "O Shaykh, how long are you here doing the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" And this person gave jawab and he replied that for the last 400 years, last 400 years, I am making ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this place. Allahu Akbar. My dear friends, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was astounded. My dear brothers, imagine 400 years of ibadat. We've heard there were in the Bani Israel, certain Anbiya alayhi salam, 80 years continuously, day and night, they made ibadat. When the Sahaba heard about this, they were so overwhelmed and they expressed some kind of remorse and sadness that, "Oh Allah, our lives are limited. We don't even live for 80 years, let alone having the opportunity to make ibadat continuously for 80 years. And so some kind of sorrow overcame them. And in order to remove that sadness and the sorrow of the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this demonstrates the lofty and high position of this ummah. If only, my dear brothers, we can understand and value and appreciate who we are, what has been granted unto us to have been made in the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Anbiya alayhi salam of the past cried unto Allah to be included in this ummah. Without making any application, without filing any application, or making even a single dua, Allah Rabbul Izzat, out of His absolute infinite mercy, made every single one of us from this ummah say, "Allahumma lakal hamdu wa lakal shukru. Allahumma lakal hamdu wa lakal shukru." Oh Allah, we are grateful that You have made us from this ummah of the beloved Habib, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. My dear friends, so because of that sorrow of the Sahaba Ikram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted this ummah Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alfi shahr, greater than 1,000 months. And 1,000 months is equivalent to 83 years and 4 months. This is why Allah gave this ummah Laylatul Qadr, in order to remove that sorrow and that feeling of helplessness that overcame the Sahaba Ikram. That you also have the opportunity. In fact, you have more opportunities. If a person is fortunate enough, and there are many such people, alhamdulillah, that if you get 10 Laylatul Qadrs in your lifetime, and you struck it 10 times, and you are the fortunate one, then it is equivalent to not 83 years, but it's equivalent to 834 years of ibadah, or something to that effect. That is what is the status of this ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is established from the Quran. This is established from an ayat of the Quran Sharif. So we can see what is the status of this ummah. This person was making ibadat 400 years. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam asked him about the grapes. He said, "Allah Rabbul Izzat is my Rabb, my sustainer. Because I have dedicated myself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has taken responsibility for my provision and my sustenance. And a bunch of fresh grapes appears here every day. And I partake of that. That is my rozi. I have my rozi and I continue doing my work day and night. I'm in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." My dear brothers, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, "Ya Rabb, O Allah, is there anyone in your creation or makhluk more unique than this person? with so much of ajr and reward, 400 years of ibadat, is there anyone in your makhluk so fortunate as this person? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wa salam that, O Isa, there will come an ummat after this. That will be the ummat of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Any person in that ummat who makes ibadat on the 15th night of Shaban, I will give him more reward and ajr than this person who made ibadat for 400 years. This is this ummat. When Nabi Isa alayhi salam heard this, my dear brothers, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam made fervent dua that, O Allah, make me from the ummat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we know that he is the only Nabi. All the other Anbiya made this dua. This dua was not accepted. He is the only Nabi of Allah whose dua was accepted. And that is why it is our aqeedah, it is our belief that Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will descend onto this earth. He will come back onto the earth once more. The second coming of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, that is established from the authentic ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it is part and parcel of our iman and aqidah and belief. So this is this night, my dear friends. It is nothing for Allah Rabbul Izzat to give that reward and ajr and even more, because after all, this is the ummat of the beloved messenger. What is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not prepared to give this ummat? So this is this 15th night of Shaban, my dear friends. This is that night in which decisions are made in the skies with regards to many, many things in this world. There are two views. Some ulama of the view that these decisions regarding the birth of someone, regarding the demise of someone, regarding the roze and sustenance of someone, regarding the amal and action of someone, these decisions, according to some ulama, are taken on this 15th night of Shaban. Some ulama say, no, this actually happens on Laylatul Qadr. But there are another group of ulama, they have reconciled these two views to say that both views are correct. In this night, Allah makes these decisions happen in the sky. And then on Laylatul Qadr, the inaction and the implementation of this takes place on Laylatul Qadr. So this is a very, very important night. This night is a night in which decisions are taken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the skies, the malaika are very, very busy at this moment in time, recording and putting all the records and doing all the hisab and the budgeting, and all of that is taking place tonight in the sky. This is that night in which Allah Rabbul Izzat makes the faisla and decision of hidayat and guidance for many people also. Many a lost soul find their way on this night. Allah makes the faisla of their guidance and they find the straight path on this night. One incident that is narrated about a great wali of Allah, may have heard his name, he's one of the popular and famous awliya Allah of this ummah, Hazrat Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi alayh was regarded amongst the great awliya of this ummat. A man of great knowledge, piety, wisdom. Person who through whom Allah gave guidance and hidayah to many people. Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi alayh got hidayah on Laylatul Barat. It is mentioned in the kitabs, the whole incident of how Allah gave hidayah to Hazrat Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah alayh on Laylatul Barat. Himself says that Allah gave me hidayah on this night, and how through the form of a dream that he saw. Hazrat Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah alayh before that time was a very, very corrupt person. He was a policeman by occupation or profession, and he used to be perpetually drunk. He loved alcohol. He used to drink a lot. Most of the time, he was in the state of intoxication. Most of the time, he used to be drunk. And regarding this night, this Shab-e-Barat, it is also mentioned in the Hadith Sharif that Allah Rabbul Izzat will grant maghfirat to everyone But there are certain unfortunate people who will be deprived of maghfirat and forgiveness even on this night because of some of the actions that they do. 7 categories of people have been mentioned in the Hadith Sharif. 7 classes of people have been mentioned who will be deprived on this night. My dear brothers, 1 category of people who will be deprived of maghfirat and forgiveness on this night are those people who are in the habit of drinking. Drunkards, intoxicants, people who go into intoxicants and so on. They are amongst those people who will be deprived on this night. People who take drugs are also included in this category of those who indulge in drinking, alcohol, intoxicants. Ma'askara, or anything that intoxicates a person's mind is haram, just as alcohol is haram. Anything else that intoxicates a person is also deemed haram in the Shariat. Once a person gets into this drinking, Allah Rabbul Izzat have mercy. We are hearing so many instances of young people are now actually drinking. In our own Muslim community, there are people who are drinking, let alone young boys. There are even very sad instances of young girls who have been caught drinking. And they have been taken from the premises of schools. By the parents have been phoned and told, come and take your daughter. Your daughter is stone drunk. Take her away home. And can't believe it that this is what is happening. Allah Pak have mercy, my dear friends. Allah save us. Allah protect us. Allah give us hidayat. Allah give us guidance. Because when a person is drunk, he doesn't know what he's doing. They say if you want to recognize whether a person is drunk or sober, when you see him walking in the street and he's making salam to every light pole, then you must know that something is wrong with him. One youngster was drinking, drank a lot. He jumped onto a bus now, going home. He sat down next to an old man. The old man was very upset because he was smelling and stinking of this liquor and alcohol. And he told him, young man, you know you're going to hell. He caught his head. He said, I thought I was going home. I've got on the wrong bus. I need to get off this bus. Let us also get off the wrong bus, my dear brothers. If we are on the wrong bus, let's get off that bus and get onto the bus. Make bus then. Stop. That means enough. And get onto the bus of Jannat. The doors are open. There's a free ride to Jannat. Nevertheless, my dear friends, Malik bin Dinar, rahmatullah alayh, many of our young people can take inspiration from the waqia and the story of Malik bin Dinar. He was a drunkard. He used to be always drunk. But when Allah gave him hidayat, he became from the awliya Allah. He became from the awliya. Many young people become despondent sometimes. We committed so much of guna, so much of sin. Will we be able to come onto the straight path? Is there any hope for us? Yes, there's every hope for you. In fact, there's greater hope for those people who make sincere tawbah and come onto the sirat-e-mustaqim because they've seen that life and they've spewed on that life, they've vomited on that life, they've kicked that life aside. They know the ups and downs of that life. And when they come onto the straight path, then they remain so firm and steadfast that nothing can take them away from there after that. So my dear friends, Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah alayhi used to be drunk always. Allah shan, he got married, and then he had a beautiful young daughter that was born to him. He loved this child of his very much. This was virtually his life. He clung to this child, he loved this child, and the child also loved him very much. And the child would jump on him and sit down on his lap. And ajeeb thing, every time he wanted to drink, then the child would knock the glass and it would spill all over on his clothes and body and everything. But the love for this child was such that he wouldn't say a word to this child and he would keep quiet. He'd just get up and go and wash it off, but he wouldn't say anything to this child. Allah shan, 2 years After this child was born, mort was destined for this little girl and she passed away. And Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah alayhi was heartbroken. He was totally shattered because he had become so attached to this child. This child was virtually his whole world. Because a drunk person, nobody wants to befriend a drunk person. No one wants to know a drunk person. No one wants to be associated with a drunk person. So all he had in this world was a love from a little baby girl who happened to be his child, his daughter, and that was everything for him. In that state of grief and sorrow, a number of days went past, he still carried on drinking. But Allah knows best what it was. Some awliya's nazar, some buzruk's dua, some tawajjuh from someone, some khas karam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That one night when he went to sleep, and that was the 15th night of Shaban, drunk. Even on this night he was drunk. He went to go and sleep. And in that dream of his, he sees a very frightening scene. Allah Ta'ala sometimes gives a person hidayah through dream. Many a people who had no contact with Islam or Muslims at all, but Allah wanted to bring them onto Sirat-e-Mustaqim. Allah wanted to give them hidayat. One incident that I know of, one lady, she saw a dream. She was a non-Muslim living out somewhere in the township. No connection with Islam or Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he wants to give hidayat and guidance, there's nothing that can stop Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This lady had a dream, and she saw in the dream people with white clothing, white clothes. From top to bottom they were wearing white clothes and walking in a very orderly way. And when she saw this dream, she was very disturbed. Something inside her began to stir and move, that there's a message for me in this dream. And when she got up the next morning, she went looking, that who wears this type of clothes that I saw in the dream, this white clothing, these white garments. And she remembered that this type of clothes, I see the Muslim people wearing these clothes. So she happened to know one Muslim person, and she went to this Muslim girl, and she spoke to her and she asked her that, you know, I saw this dream, and this is the type of clothes your people wear and so on. And I want to know more about you people. Tell me more. And so this lady explained to her a few things. And by the fazal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they directed this person to my house. And she came one Saturday morning. She's an elderly person, about 55 years old. She came home and we invited her in. She sat down. She had a few questions to ask. We answered some of her questions. And then she said, I am very attracted to this religion of yours. How do I enter into your religion or your church? Or how do I become a Muslim? We explained to her briefly. And alhamdulillah, on the spot she was ready and she recited the kalima and the shahadat. And after that, my dear brothers, alhamdulillah, this lady from then till today, alhamdulillah, she wears her full niqab and parda in the townships where she's living. She wears her full parda and niqab, and she moves around like this all over. Despite what the people say, she's very firm on her dress, on her libas and so on. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives hidayat. Sometimes through a dream, a person sees the Sirat-e-Mustaqim. So Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah alayhi, in this dream, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him a scene. And in this he saw that there was a huge python, huge snake that was chasing after him. The snake was coming after him at a very high speed. Very, very black, very frightening, with a huge gaping mouth and very frightening eyes. In fact, he describes his eyes were like blue color eyes. Very, very frightening. And the snake was chasing after him. And he was running for his life. As fast as he could run, he was running. And as fast as he was running, the snake was chasing him, just as fast as that. And he ran and ran and ran, until he came to one place, where he encountered one old man. Old man had white clothing, very handsome in appearance. He had a walking stick, but he was very weak and feeble. Very, very weak. Very old. Had no strength in him. Walking with the support of a stick. He encountered this old man. And Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah alayhi asked him, "So my dear friends," Hazrat Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah alayhi runs up to this old man and he begs him, "Please help me, do something for me. Try to chase the snake away. I can't get away from it. It's right behind me." The old man tells him, "Sorry, I can't do anything for you. Just run, run and carry on running as fast as you can run." So he ran on and on and on, and the snake was behind him until he came to a hill, and he climbed onto the hill, and when he looked down, he saw a huge fire, massive fire. Every direction there was this fire, blazing fire, and the snake was so close to him that he almost jumped into the fire. But a voice spoke out and said, "You are not from the people of the fire. You are not from the people of the fire. Turn back." So he turned back and he started running. The snake was chasing him again. He ran and ran until he came across the old man again. At this time he's pleading with him that, "Please help me." The old man said, "I can't do anything. I can't help you in any way. Maybe if you go up to that one mountain there, there's some amanat of the Muslim ummah. Maybe if you go there and you've got some amanat of yours kept there, maybe there will be some help for you." So we find that he runs and he runs and he carries on running until he comes to the top of the hill. When he gets to the top of the hill, then there is an angel that is standing there, and the angel sees him coming. And the angel shouts out, Oh, Muslim children, there is somebody who has come here. Is any one of you an amanat of this person who has come? Come forward." So, from inside of that mountainside, there were beautiful little shelters that were made. And from the shelter, thousands of children came out and they came to see what is going on. In that group of children was this little daughter of his who had passed away. And she came out and she saw that this is my father. And she ran to her father and she hugged her father. She grabbed her father and she stood next to her father. And when that snake was almost catching up with him now, this girl made a sign to the snake with her finger and she said, "Be gone." She chased the snake away and the snake turned around and went away. Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah alayh was perspiring profusely. He was overwhelmed with fear and terror. And now he starts talking to his daughter. And he asked her that, "Where are you?" She says that, "I am in a place, very beautiful place. All the children of the Muslims who die, Allah keeps us in this very special place. And we enjoy all Allah's bounties. And we will remain here till the day of Qiyamah. And on the day of Qiyamah, we will be reunited with our parents." Those people who have lost their little ones, their near and dear ones, their little children. There's a lot of glad tidings for them. Because it is said that on the day of Qiyamah, those masoom children will come. And they will virtually fight with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have their parents released from azab and taken with them into Jannah. And when little children become persistent and when they put up a tantrum and they put up a fuss, we know that little children, when they go into a tantrum, it's very, very difficult to control them. In front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, those children will go into a tantrum. And they will insist that, "Oh Allah, until our parents don't go with us to Jannah, we're also not going." And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take mercy, take pity on those parents and say, "You also go with your children." Nevertheless, my dear friends, Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah alayhi, the daughter now is with him. She holds his hand and she strokes his beard like how she used to stroke him when she was in the world. And she rubs her hands over her father's face And she says, "O my father, أَلَمْ يَعْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ." O my father, has the time not come now when your heart should become softened, your heart should become soft, and your heart should now turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and your heart should start trembling with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and your heart should become receptive to the wahi and the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Has that time not come? An ayat of the Quran she quoted to her father. Father was astounded. He said, "Do you even know how to quote Quran?" She said, "What? We know more than the living people from the Quran." And she said to her father, "Think on these ayats of the Quran, O my father. How long are you going to carry on in these wrongful ways of yours?" And saying that, suddenly, then he asked her, that this dream that I saw, very strange dream, tell me, in this dream, now he says, the scene that I saw, that there was this snake that was chasing me. Who's this? What was the snake all about? And she said, "Oh my father, that snake was nothing but your evil amal. Your bad actions, Allah transformed that into a snake. And your bad actions are going to catch up with you. Your bad actions were going to grab hold of you. And your bad actions were going to destroy you. But it was that you got saved just by that little amount of time. You got saved from that." Then he said, "Who is..." And also it is mentioned, and Kissa comes to my mind quickly. I will mention this, that once a person passed away. He was a very evil person. He passed away. They dug the qabr. Inside the qabr they found a huge black python that was lying inside the qabr, waiting for this person. And the people got so frightened that they left that grave and they went and dug another grave. And when they dug that grave, lo and behold, they found that same black snake inside that grave also. And they left that and they dug another grave, until it is said they dug 30 graves. And after digging 30 graves, one alim who came to know about this incident, he told them, "You can dig graves around the whole world and you will still find that black snake there. You will never be able to chase it away, because that is the personification of the amal of this person. This is the form, the physical form of his wicked and bad amal that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put inside of his grave. And he can never escape from those amal of his. Allah Pak save us and protect us. This Mubarak night is that night, my dear friends. More than anything else, we have to cry and beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our salvation in the akhirat, for the salvation of our near and dear ones, all our deceased ones. This is a time when we should beseech Allah ta'ala and cry and beg Allah for savior and protection from the azab of the hereafter. My dear brothers, we can have every bounty of this world, but 1 second of azab in the hereafter is intolerable to insan. Nevertheless, Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah alayhi, now he awakens from his dream. And like how when a person wakes up from a nightmare, a frightening dream, sometimes we see a dream, a person is though he's falling from a high building to the ground, and he shakes up out of his dream and he finds he just fell from the bed to the ground. That's what dreams are all about. But this was a true dream. And he was given a message in this dream. He got up, he made ghusl, he unrolled the musalla, and he sat down on the musalla, and he started making tawbah, and repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the sins of the past. And Allah ta'ala accepted his tawbah. Allah gave him such hidayat that he became from the awliya Allah of that time. And he became the means of hidayat of thousands of other people. Many, many people came onto Sirat-e-Mustaqim through the effort of Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah alayh. One woman and her master, they got hidayah through Malik bin Dinar, but we won't go into that incident. It's a long incident itself. Another youngster, Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah alayh, saw him. He was a very handsome young man, very wealthy, well-dressed, sitting on the side of the road, instructing the builders who were building his palace, do this and put this. He had a huge plan in front of him, building a massive palace, a huge castle he was putting up for himself, because Allah had given him the wealth. Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah alayhi saw him, and he took a liking to him. And he took pity on him. And he said, this young man, wasting his youth, wasting his life on sand and mortar, on things that are going to perish and things that are going to disappear, he needs to connect himself with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He needs to befriend Allah. He needs to become Allah's wali and Allah's friend. Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah alayh went up to this person, this youngster, and he told him that I got to speak to you for 1 minute if you prepare to give me little time. He said, yes, what can I do for you? He says that, you know, a young person like you, you are wasting your time building these big, big houses. How long are you going to live in this house? One day you'll become old, you will die. The house will go to someone else. Build your house in Jannat. Build your palace in Akhirat. Don't waste your time with these material things of the world. And with that sincerity and that yaqeen, that conviction, that ikhlas, when awliya Allah speak, there is that effect in their words. How many people, alhamdulillah, through the words of Hazrat Maulana Rahmat Damat Barakatuhum, their lives have changed. Many youngsters sat for one majlis, two majlises. That effect of that ikhlas, that sincerity, that compassion, that love, that concern they have for the akhirat of the people, Allah brings about a transformation in a person's life. So nevertheless, Malik bin Dinar Rahmatullah Ali spoke to him and told him, don't waste your time with this. How much is it going to cost you to build this house? He said, it's going to cost me 100,000 dinars to put up this house. I've got a budget of 100,000. He told him, you know what? Give that money to me and I will buy you a house in Jannat. Let's make a deal. The young man started thinking. He said, uncle, give me 1 day to go and think about this. It's an offer that you have made. Let me go and think about it. Let me go and ponder about it. He went home. And he was thinking deeply. In the meantime, Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah alayh was on the musalla and crying at night and making dua. Oh Allah, I made a bargain with this person. I didn't even think what I was saying. If he accepts this bargain, then don't disappoint me or him in the fulfillment of this bargain. And he made dua for the hidayat of this youngster. Many people, my dear brothers, many children who have gone astray. It was the tears of the mother in the dead of the night. It was the sighs of the father on the musalla that brought them back onto Sirat-e-Mustaqim. Lots of people today, we have complaints about parents, about children. The children are gone astray from parents. Oh, Malana, I don't know what to do. I'm so fed up with these children of mine. They don't listen. Let us put our complaint in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. Let those tears roll. Let the sighs come out. Let's wet the musalla first, then try every other means we have. Inshallah, there's no reason why those children will still remain deviated. Someday Allah will bring them onto Sirat-e-Mustaqim. My dear friends, Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah alayhi is crying, making dua to Allah Ta'ala the whole night. Oh Allah, give him hidayat and guidance. In the morning, he goes to the house of this youngster. He knocks at the door. The young man comes out with a broad smile. And he says, uncle, I thought very carefully about the offer you made. I am ready to accept the offer. I put a stop to the construction of my house. This 100,000 that I have saved for my house, I am giving this over to you in lieu of purchasing a house in the akhirat. And from now onwards, I will spend my time in the ibadat and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah alayhi was overjoyed. And he thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah used him for the guidance and hidayat of this youngster. We find, my dear friends, the young person says, but one condition. That one condition is this, that you must write down for me, and give it to me in black and white. Give it to me in black and white, that Malik bin Dinar has sold a house in Jannah to so and so for 100,000 dirhams or dinars. I want it signed and sealed. Then I'm prepared to do the deal. Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah alayh, taking Allah's name, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, he wrote this document down and he put his full faith and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He signed it and he gave it to this person. Allah's shan, Allah's qudrat, not even a few days went past and Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah alayh, one day, he finds when he finished his fajr salat and he turned around in the mihrab of the masjid, he found a piece of paper. When he picked up that piece of paper, It was that very letter that he had written, that document that he had signed for that youngster. So Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah alayhi goes in search of this youngster. He goes to his house. He knocks at the door. He hears the sighs of people crying and people sobbing and sadness in that house. He goes in and asks what has happened. And they say that young man, he passed away a few days ago and he has gone from this world. Malik bin Dinar says, tell me, was there any piece of paper or document that he had with him? They said, yes, this one document in the last moments of his life, he gave it to us and he said, take this document and put it in my coffin and bury me with this document inside my coffin. Don't forget to put this document in my coffin. And we put this document in his coffin. Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah alayhi takes out the document from his pocket and he shows it to them and he says, is this the document? And they say, wallah, this is the very same document that we put. He finds written on the back of the document, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is witness to the deal and Allah has fulfilled this deal. My dear brothers, when a person does a deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that deal can never go sour. Let us deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's make our deal with our Rabb Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And tonight is that night to make our deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Malik bin Dinar was overwhelmed with joy. And every time he would think of this youngster, he would weep and cry and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this young man. There was another youngster who was there. He said to Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah alayhi that I got 200,000. I'm prepared to put it down on the table. Let's strike a deal. You give me also a paper. House in Jannah. Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah alayhi told him no. That was for that time. Now you've seen it. You've seen it all. Now it's not going to have the effect like this man. This youngster never saw it and he signed the deal. There is a difference now. Now you've seen it. It's not the same like before. This is very much like an incident, inshallah, one, two incidents and then we will conclude, inshallah. This is very much like an incident that happened to Harun al-Rashid. Harun al-Rashid, as we all know, my dear brothers, he was a Khalifa, very, very mighty, very strong, very powerful king and Khalifa of his time from the Bani Umayyah. He was married to Zubaydah. Zubaydah the queen, married to Harun al-Rashid. Zubaydah was a very, very pious woman. Harun al-Rashid himself was a very pious person. Nevertheless, one day, they happened to be walking on the shore of the river, on the bank of the river, and they found one person sitting there. He was known to be a madman. Behlul was his name. Behlul. But Behlul, although he appeared to be a madman, in actual fact he was a great wali of Allah and a very highly intelligent person. But in order to hide himself from the public so that people wouldn't be troubling him all the time and knocking at his door, make dumb and do this and do that and so on, he hid himself away from the eyes of the public by pretending to be a mad person. Everyone used to just walk past him and say, leave him, this is Behlul Majnoon, the madman. And in that way, he was able to do his ibadat in peace. Nobody used to disturb him. And he used to do his ibadat in privacy in this manner. Nevertheless, Behlul was one day sitting at the bank of the river and he was busy making little houses with clay houses. So Harun al-Rashid happened to be walking in front. His wife, the queen, was walking behind him. And he came past and he saw Behlul making these little houses with clay, with mud. And he started laughing and he said, what are you doing, Behlul? Behlul said, I'm building houses. What are you going to do with this house? No, I'm going to sell this house. How much you'll sell this house for? I'll sell this house for 1 dirham. What you'll do? He says that I'll sell this house for 1 dirham. Anyone who buys this house, I will guarantee this person a house in Jannat. This was a wali of Allah. This was a wali of Allah. Harun al-Rashid thought Behlul, Majnoon, madman, he's making little clay houses and mud houses here. He took it as a joke. He laughed and he carried on walking. Zubaydah came a few minutes behind Harun al-Rashid. She saw Behlul. What are you doing, Behlul? I'm making mud houses here. What are you doing with the mud house? No, I'm going to sell it. How much are you selling it for? 1 dirham. Anyone who buys this house will get a house in Jannat. Zubaydah quickly took out a purse and gave him 1 dirham. I bought this house. Let me have my house in Jannat. Any case, they go home. In the night, Harun al-Rashid sees a dream. In that dream, he sees Jannat. In Jannat, he sees his beautiful palaces and houses. Beautiful house, palace made with absolute, totally made of pearl. A whole huge dome-shaped house made of pearl. Pure, beautiful, most captivating house made of pearl. And as he comes and he's so shocked and astounded by the beauty of the structure, he comes there and he sees a name written on the door, and the name of Zubaydah is written on the door of this palace. And he says that I must now enter this palace because this is the palace of my queen. So as he comes near the door to enter, the guards there, they stop him and they say, stop, you're not allowed to enter. He said, but this is my wife. He says, that's there in the world, not here. This, only the person whose name is written on here will be allowed entry in here. Nobody else is allowed entry. You can't enter into this house. So Harun al-Rashid gets a shock. And he looks around. The house of Zubaydah is there. There's no palace, nothing for him. And he's very, very saddened. And in that condition, his eyes open up. And he wakes up and he is now tossing and turning in bed. And he's thinking to himself that this deal that I could have made for 1 dirham, I could have bought this house in Jannat. I would have also had a palace in Jannat. My wife was more intelligent than me. She bought that house from Behlul and she got her house in Jannat. Nevertheless, he was thinking, tossing and turning, thinking to himself, how do I secure a house for myself in Jannat? So he thought to himself, today I'll go and look for Behlul again. I'll go and look for Behlul, and when I find him, I'll offer him a big sum of money to buy a house in Jannat. So he sets out again, and as he's walking, his heart leaps with joy when he sees Behlul sitting on the side of the river, at the bank of the river, building his mud houses. Harun al-Rashid rushes up to Behlul and he says, Behlul, what are you doing? I'm building a house of clay. What are you going to do? I'm going to sell it. Anyone who buys it, house for them in Jannat. Harun al-Rashid says, Behlul, I'm ready to buy. I'm ready to buy. He pulls out his purse, starts counting the notes. Behlul says, you will have to pay a very high price today. He says, whatever price, I'm ready to pay the price. Behlul tells him, the price that you have to pay today is the kingdom of the whole world. If you prepare to give me the kingdom of the whole world, then only I will sell you this house in Jannat. Harun al-Rashid says, Behlul, I don't have that. I have a kingdom over a certain limited part of the earth. I don't have the kingdom of the whole world. I can't afford it. He says, sorry, if you can't afford it, you can't have it. And now he walks away. Behlul tells him that Harun, before that, he asks him a question that yesterday you were selling for 1 dirham. Today you are asking for this price. Why the difference? He says that yesterday it was being sold without seeing. Today you are buying with seeing. There's a difference between the two. When you bought it without seeing it, then the value of it was very great. When you see the value, now you want to buy it. Now it has no value. Like this, my dear friends. Today we're making our ibadat. We're worshipping Allah Ta'ala in these big nights, in the days of Ramadan that are coming round the corner. That has great value in the eyes of Allah because we are not seeing what we are going to get. But the day when we see it in the akhirat, now when a person sees what is the value of one subhanallah, he will want to go back and say, Ya Allah, let me go back. That one subhanallah, let me say, because he can see what is the value of one subhanallah. So today it's all in the ghaib, it's in the unseen. Let us exert ourselves today, my dear friends. And without seeing, let us do what we're supposed to do. Then Allah will give us such ajr and such rewards that when we will see it on the day of Qiyamah, they say, if Allah has to reveal in this dunya, a man's heart will burst with the joy. He will fall down dead on the ground because he won't be able to take that joy and happiness of what he will be receiving. So my dear friends, this Mubarak night is here. What are we supposed to do on this Mubarak night? Very quickly, inshallah, we will conclude now. What are we supposed to do on this Mubarak night? On this night, there are various acts of ibadah that have to be done. Think of it as though we have one beautiful dastarkhan, tablecloth laid in front of us, and on that tablecloth there's a variety of dishes, and you can take, pick and choose, taste from each variety. Enjoy a little bit of each, have the flavor of each one of those things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put a variety of amal on the dastarkhan for us. Tilawat of the Quran, zikrullah, durood and salawat, nafil salat, salatul tasbih, dua, istighfar, muraqabah, muhasabah, all these beautiful amal are placed in front of us. Tonight, let us take a little share from each one of these. Enjoy the various forms of ibadat. Salatul tasbih, we know there's great fadail and virtues. Nafil salat, we know the virtues of these things. I don't want to go into the details of these fadail and virtues. Everyone knows these virtues. Let us engage in these different types of ibadat. Let's try and stay awake as long as possible. When a person feels extremely tired, so tired that there is a fear now that we're going to make baddua for ourselves. There's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also mentioned that when you become so tired that instead of making dua, you might by mistake make baddua for yourself. That's the time to go and sleep then. You rather sleep. And then to sleep with the intention that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also slept on these nights, to sleep with that intention that we will get the reward of the sunnah also. Let us sleep for a short while, then try and wake up again, and then carry on till the time of tahajjud, and till the time of fajr. And one thing, my dear brothers, let us not for any reason miss our fajr salat with jamaat tomorrow. Like this masjid is packed to capacity this evening, from the front to the back, there are so many people here for Salatul Isha. Alhamdulillah, we've read our Salatul Isha with Jamaat. Let it be that this masjid is flowing, overflowing, exactly in the same way tomorrow for Fajr Salat. Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Man salla al-Isha fi jama'atin, faka'annama qama nisfa al-layl, wa man salla al-fajra bi jama'atin, faka'annama qama al-layla kulla. The person who read his Isha with Jamaat, it is as though he made ibadat for half the night. And if he read his Fajr Salat with Jamaat, it is as though he made ibadat for the whole night. So the least that we must do is not to miss our Fajr Salat with Jamaat tomorrow morning. Insha'Allah, insha'Allah, insha'Allah. Allah give us all tawfiq. My dear friends, also, one very, very important thing to do tonight. All the various acts of ibadat are there. One important thing to do tonight. Let us go into the seclusion of our room, our bedroom, our lounge or somewhere, unfold that musalla. And tonight, my dear brothers, let us get into a conversation and let us get into talking with our Rabb Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us speak with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tonight. This is the essence of this night, to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To pour our hearts out in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To make certain pledges to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To make certain promises to our Rabb Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To make certain commitments to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tonight. That Allah, I'm going to give up my life of guna and sin. I'm going to give up this haram. This music that I enjoy, I'm going to give this up for good. Give me the strength, give me the tawfiq, give me the ability. This TV, this haram, these videos, these things that I love to watch, I'm going to give all of this up for your pleasure. All these wrong things that I'm doing, the wrong places I'm going to, the wrong actions that I'm indulging, let us ask Allah Ta'ala tawfiq to change our life. My dear brothers, they say that if a person made dua to become pious, a person made dua to become righteous, a person made dua to become from the Salihin, and then for some reason he was not included in the group of the Salihin, on the day of Qiyamah, he will be able to stand up in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and at least say this much, that, oh Allah, I desire to be from the Salihin, I made dua to be from the Salihin. Maybe on that excuse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will link a person and include him and join him up with the group of the Salihin. أُحِبُّ الصَّالِحِينَ وَلَسْتُ مِنْهُمْ أُحِبُّ الصَّالِحِينَ وَلَسْتُ مِنْهُمْ لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقُنِي صَلَاحًا. A person said, I love the pious people. I am not pious myself, but I love the pious, and I want to be with the pious, and I want to be included in the pious. So I ask Allah Ta'ala, oh Allah, include me from the pious. Perhaps Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will look at this wish in my heart, and though I didn't reach that level, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will say on the Day of Judgment, you wanted to be with them, you made dua to be with them, go, I've included you in that group. This is the essence of this night, my dear friends. It is as though Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is stretching out His hand of friendship to us tonight and say, oh my banda, oh my servant, Allah is announcing from the time of Maghrib till Fajr time, who of you wants whatever, come, I'm ready to give it to you. You want to make peace with me tonight? Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, I'm ready to make peace with you. Make your peace. Let us make our peace with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. For too long, oh Allah, we have disobeyed you. For too long, we have broken your commands. Now we want to become obedient, and we want to become in the shade of your mercy and rahmat, and we want to befriend you. We want to build our bridges with you. This is the essence of tonight. My dear friends, also one last thing, the dua that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, or some other sahabi, this dua, أعوذ برضاك من سخطك وأعوذ بعفوك من إقابك وأعوذ بك منك لا أحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. Let us at least try to read this dua a few times tonight, so we can get the fadilat and the virtue of reading this dua also. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. My dear brothers, let us read Durood Sharif quickly. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. يا ربي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله أن نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله اللهم صلي على محمد كلما ذكره الذاكرون وصلي وسلم على سيدنا محمد كلما غفل عن ذكره الغافلون اللهم صلي على محمد في أول كلامنا اللهم صلي على سيدنا محمد في أوسط كلامنا اللهم صلي وسلم على سيدنا محمد في آخر كلامنا اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته يا الله يا رحمن يا رحيم يا كريم يا عظيم يا حليم يا حي يا قيوم يا حي يا قيوم يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا أحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين Oh Allah, O most merciful, O most kind Allah, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, this Mubarak night you have granted us out of your fadl and karam. Ya Ilah Al-Alameen, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, Ya Allah, through your tawfiq we have come to your house. Through your tawfiq we have read Salatul Isha with Jamaat. Ya Ilah Al-Alameen, through your tawfiq you have included us in the group of the Mu'mineen. Through your tawfiq, you have included us in the ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, you have granted us this great night regarding which so much of fadail and virtues have been mentioned. Ya Allah al-Alamin, grant us the full barakat of this night. Allah, do not deprive a single one, entire ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the blessings and barakat of this Mubarak night. Ya Allah al-Alamin, from the time of Maghrib till now, Ya Allah, our ears cannot hear, but our iman, the ears of our iman have heard that you are pronouncing and declaring, is there anyone in my bandas who wants any of his needs fulfilled? I am prepared to fulfill his needs. Ya Allah, we are full of needs. From head to toe we are full of needs. Every second of our life we are full of needs. Ya Ilah al-Alameen, every breath we are in need of. Ya Allah, every morsel of food we are in need. Ya Allah, every step that we take we are in need. Every qadam that we take, we are in need. Every blinking of our eye, we are in need. Allah, if our eye closes once, to open that eye again, we are in need. Ya ilah al-alameen, your needy, fakir, your beggar servants are at your door. Ya ilaha al-alameen, grant us on this Mubarak night, open up your khazana and treasures and throw wide open the doors of your khazana and treasures and grant us so much, ya ilaha al-alameen, unlimited from your khazana and treasures that will suffice for our needs from now till the day we die and from now till the day of Qiyamah and from now till the day we enter into Jannatul Firdaus. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, grant us all our needs on this Mubarak night of deen, of dunya, of akhirat, of ourselves, of our children, of our wives, of our parents, of our friends, of our family, of the entire ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, don't deprive any single one on this Mubarak night. Ya Allah, great, great gunegars, drunkards, zinakar, murderers, robbers, killers, Allah, you gave them hidayat and tawfiq. Ya Allah, we are also your sinful gunegar servants. Allah, do not deprive us of maghfirat on this night. Allah, grant us hidayat. Allah, grant us sirat mustaqim. Ya Allah, grant us to be from the salihin. Allah, wa amal, don't make us anywhere near from being in the salihin. Ya arhamar rahimin. We beg of you, make us from the salihin. Make us from the righteous ones. Make us from the muttaqeen. Make us from the musalleen. Make us from the abideen. Make us from the zahideen. Make us from the shakireen. Make us from the sabireen. Make us from the mujahideen. Ya arhamar rahimeen. Make us from the righteous and pious ones. Ya arhamar rahimeen. So that on the day of Qiyamah, ya Allah, we can also be included in those groups. Ya arhamar rahimeen. Ya Allah, grant and all the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam safety and protection and hifazat on this Mubarak night. Ya Allah, the halat and conditions around the world are such, ya Allah, no matter how much we can cry, how many tears may be shed, ya arhamar rahimin, the nuqsan, the harm, the damage that has been done, how many millions have perished, how many have become shaheed, how many have become homeless, how many are lying in hospital beds with broken limbs, how many legs are cut off, how many hands are cut off, how many have become blind, how many have become paralyzed for life. Ya arhamar rahimin, ya Allah, so much of nuqsan has been done to this ummah, so much of harm has been done to this ummah, so much of zulm has been done to this ummah, so much of oppression and tyranny has been unleashed on this ummah. Ya arhamar rahimin, ya Allah, ya Allah, the malaika must be crying out in the skies, enough, enough. Ya Allah, the awliya Allah crying out, enough, enough. Ya Allah, how much more of punishment is this ummah going to take? How much more torture and suffering this ummah is going to take? Ya arhamar rahimin, we beseech of you on this Mubarak night. Ya Allah, have mercy on this ummah. Ya Allah, have raham on this ummah. Ya Allah, change the condition of this ummah. Undoubtedly, this is due to our amal. This is due to our deeds and actions. Ya Allah, our deeds are worse than the people of Palestine and of Iraq and these other countries. Allah, but they are taking the punishment for the whole ummah's sake. They are taking the azab and we are scot-free. Ya Allah, we are making collective tawbah on behalf of the entire ummah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Accept the collective tawbah on the behalf of the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're making tawbah on behalf of every single ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, enough. We've had enough now, ya Allah. Turn the tide. Change the halat and condition. Bring about good conditions. Bring about conducive conditions. Ya ilaha al-alameen. Ya Allah, have mercy on this ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Elevate this ummah. Lift this ummah. Give hidayah to this ummah. Ya Allah, have raham on this ummah. Ya Allah, make islah of this ummah. Rectify this ummah. Transform this ummah. Change this ummah. Ya ilaha al-alameen. Bring the glorious days of Islam back to the world. Let the flag of Islam fly high in this world. How many people have given so much of qurbani? How much of blood has been spilt already? The earth has been dyed red with the blood of the ummah. Ya Allah, bring the glorious days of Islam back to this world. Let the flag of Shariat fly from all the buildings of the world. Ya Allah, bring hidayat back. Ya Allah, bring rahmat, bring mercy, bring justice back into this world. Ya ilaha al-alameen, for our brothers and sisters and dear children who are suffering in the various parts of the world. Masoom children have lost their mothers and fathers. These yateem children got nobody to pass their hand over their head. My beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he would see yateem children, his heart would melt for those children. He would hug them. He would pass his mubarak hands over their heads out of shafqat and out of mercy. Allah, today this ummah ummah has become yatim, and there is no Nabi to pass his hand over this yatim ummah. Allah, you are the one who can uplift this yatim ummah. Allah, have mercy on this ummah. Ya Allah, bring us back onto Sirat al-Mustaqim. Ya Allah, give us hidayat and tawfiq. Allah, more than anything else on this Mubarak night, Allah, we need dunya for the limited needs of dunya. But more than dunya, we need our needs of deen and akhirat. We need our hidayat. We need our tawfiq. We need the changes to come about. Ya Allah, change the condition of the youth of this ummah. Bring the youth onto Sirat al-Mustaqim. Allah, give hidayat to the youth of this ummah. This beautiful youth of this ummah, they've got so much of potential. Ya Allah, harness the potential of the youth of this ummah. And make them the coolness of the eyes of beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, all the du'as that have been made around the world on this Mubarak night, Allah, don't let these du'as go in vain. Ya Allah, the collective du'as of the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the old men who are making du'a, the old women who are making du'a, old ladies are making du'a, the young are making du'a, masoob children have lifted their hands in du'a, elderly people with white beards, Ya Allah, they are crying out in du'a. Ya Allah, the awliya Allah making du'a. Ya Allah, accept the collective du'a of the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and make faislas of change for this ummah. Ya Allah, our kabireen are making du'a. In the Haramain Sharifain, how much of du'as have been made. Ya Allah, people are holding on to the ghilaf of the Kaaba and making du'a. People are prostrated in front of Maqam Ibrahim and they are shedding tears and making du'a for this ummah. Allah, people are holding multazam and making du'a. People are in the hatib on the ground and making du'a. People are on the mataf making du'a. People are making du'a at Safa and Marwa. People are making du'a in Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif. People are making du'a in Qadamain Sharifain. People are making du'a in Rosa Mubarak. People are making du'a in Riyazul Jannat. People are making du'a on Ashab al-Suffa platform. Ya Allah, accept the du'as of all of these people. Ya Allah, all our akabirin, especially the du'a of our Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahab. Ya Allah, how much of du'a he must have made in these Mubarak days, in these Mubarak places. Allah, accept all the du'as of all the awliya, all the akabirin, accept the du'as and bring the change now. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, grant us the best of dunya, grant us the best of akhirat. Ya Allah, give us hifazat and protection in dunya, give us hifazat in the akhirat. Ya Allah, we know, it is a fact to the world knows that the dushman and the enemies, they have cast their napak glances on Islam and on the Muslim ummah. Ya Allah, they have one objective in mind, to destroy Islam from the surface of the earth. They want to wipe out and annihilate the Muslim ummah. This is their only obstacle in achieving and realizing their satanic dreams. Ya Allah, let their dreams and schemes fail. Ya Allah, their bad intentions that they got towards Masjid al-Aqsa, make them absolutely dismally fail in their objectives and schemes. Ya Allah, make hifazat of Masjid al-Aqsa and the people of Masjid al-Aqsa. Ya Allah, it is your house. Ya Allah, you give it protection. When Abraha came to attack the Baytullah, Abdul Muttalib told him, you can go and attack the Kaaba. That is the house of Allah. Allah will protect his house. Today, Allah, we are weak. We are weaker than those people. Today we also say, Baytul Maqdas, Masjid al-Aqsa is the house of Allah. Those who want to attack, they are attacking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, you make hifazat of your house. Ya Allah, make hifazat of the Haramain Sharifain. Make hifazat of all the masajid. Make hifazat of all the maqabir. Make hifazat of all the makatib, the madaris, all the Islamic institutions, all the efforts of deen, all the jamaats that are going around in the different parts of the world. Ya Allah, the mujahideen who are fighting valiantly on the battlefield. Ya Allah, they put their lives in their palms and they've come out outnumbered by hundreds and thousands. Ya Allah, outgunned, outweaponed. Ya Allah, they've come onto the maidan and the field. Ya Allah, you be the protector. You be the helper. You be their assister. Ya Allah, you direct their weapons. Allah, you destroy the weapons of the kuffar. Cast fear in their hearts. Let them be overwhelmed by terror and fear. Let them leave the battlefield and run for their lives. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Give the Mujahideen, Ya Allah, courage and strength. Give them victory. Give them ikhlas. Ya Allah, you help and assist them. Those who have become shaheed, grant them high stages. Those who are injured, give them shifa. Those who are imprisoned in the dungeons of the kuffar and they are being tortured, Allah, have mercy on them. Give them strength. Allah, save them, protect them. Allah, release them. Allah, those who have left behind their widows and their yatim children, Allah, you take care of their widows and their yatim children. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, grant us the best of dunya and akhirat. Make our akhirat better than dunya. Make easy for us all the stages of akhirat. From the time of maut, right till the qabr, through the qabr, through the day of qiyamah, through the pul sirat, right until we enter into jannah. Ya Allah, grant us jannatul firdaus. Ya Allah, grant us jannatul firdaus. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught us to make dua for jannatul firdaus. Whether our amal are worthy of jannatul firdaus or not, Ya Allah, we are not looking at our amal. We are looking at your mercy and karam and raham. Allah, grant us all jannatul firdaus. Allah, grant us jannatul firdaus and save us from the fire of jahannam. Allahumma rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. Allahumma صلي على محمد صلاة تنجينا بها من جميع الأهوال والآفات وتقضي لنا بها جميع الحاجات وتطهرنا بها من جميع السيئات وترفعنا بها إنك على الدرجات وتبلغنا بها أقصى الغايات من جميع الخيرات في الحياة وبعد الممات إنك على كل شيء قدير. اللهم صل على محمد كلما ذكره الذاكرون وصل على محمد كلما غفل عن ذكر الغافلون. اللهم إنا نسألك من كل خير ما سألك منه نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذك من كل شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.